Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. We're live tonight. This is April the 4th in the year 2014, and the year is really getting away from us because we're gearing up for our UFO conference, so that makes time pass fast, too.
I'll tell you what makes time pass fast. It's planning the year, and we've got the year planned, and so I'm already at the end of the year. So.
Trying to figure out it'll go so quickly because we were doing so many things anyway. Okay, but tonight is just me and Julia, and we're going to be talking about dimensions. But if anybody wants to call in, feel free to do it. We always like to call in. They're interesting. So if anyone out there wants to call in tonight and talk to us, preferably about what we're talking about, but if not, we're open to anything. Then the toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Okay. I wanted to bring up about dimensions because there has been a lot of talk about them. And I'm not referring to the big dimensions. You know, they say we're in the third dimension here.
Oh, right.
The big ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth dimension is time, so they said that one doesn't count. I think the other ones are what? Height is supposed to be...
Well,
based.
2D is just a flat surface.
Yeah.
1D, I don't know what that is. Is that a dot?
I don't know. I used to have it on the tip of my tongue, but I don't anymore. But I know we're a three-dimensional world that we live in here. The fourth dimension is time, which everybody's always telling us in my work. It does not exist anyway. And the fifth dimension is where we're moving into now for the new Earth. But I'm not talking about the big dimensions. And there's even more than five. They go all the way up. I think it's innumerable how many we could go to, but right now we're focusing on we're moving into the fifth dimension. But I'm not talking about that. Tonight I want to talk about the other type of dimensions that are all around us. We're surrounded by them, and we can't see them. There's other worlds all around us. There are people living in these other dimensions and cities. Civilizations are right there, but they're just so close, but we can't see them because they are vibrating at a different frequency, the same way we were talking about we have to raise our vibrations to go into the other dimension. All these dimensions are vibrating at different frequencies and vibrations, just like when you watch a fan blade or a propeller blade, when it speeds up its vibrations, it becomes invisible. So that's what's happened on these other dimensions. They are invisible to us, but they're real. They do exist. And I've had so many people share their stories with me, and we've had a lot in my work, too, about these different dimensions. And the strange thing about it is you are in and out of this all the time, and you don't even realize it. It's nothing woo-woo about it because we're constantly moving in and out of dimensions all day long, and we just don't know it. And the only time it stands out is when something different happens to draw your attention to it or make you notice it. Otherwise, you would just go the rest of your day and not even know anything had happened. They told me in my work that sometimes, you know, you go into the next room, and you're forgetting what you went in there to get. You went in to get something, and you're standing there in the middle of the room. Well, what did I come in here for?
Yeah, I have to go back to the first room and go get your thought again.
Yeah, that's what we found to do. You go back where you were, stand there, and it'll come back to you. Oh, yeah, that was what I went into that room to get. But they said in that fraction of a second, really, when you go into that room and forget what you were there for, you've already gone into another dimension and back again.
And that's why you can't remember?
Yeah.
Because in that dimension, that thought didn't exist?
Or whatever.
Which is why we go back to the first room to get the thought again.
I guess.
Okay.
Because it happens all the time, but we don't think about it. We said, well, I know I come in here for something. What did I come in here for?
Man, that happens a lot.
Yeah. But they said that shows you how common it is and how quickly you can go from one dimension to the next. So there's nothing scary about it. You're not going to get trapped there. But
trapped in the land of not remembering what you went for.
But that's what I found. You go back to where you were when you thought about it, and then you'll, oh, yeah, that's what it was, and then you can go back and find it.
Right.
But these happen all the time. Another thing that we have happening a lot that we don't realize, we know we put something, car keys, purse, whatever it was, we know we laid it right there on that spot, and we go back to find it, it's not there. And we know it was there. And you can look all over the house. You can look everywhere, and you can't find it. And then later, you'll go back, and there it is, sitting right there where it was in the beginning.
And you know you looked there 10 times.
Yeah. This is a common thing that happens. And some people have told me they've had big things that just seem to disappear into nothing. Just one was a big, huge coffee maker. This woman knew where it was in this closet because she wanted to get it for a club meeting they were going to have, and she was going to take it there. And it's always kept in that closet in the same place, and she couldn't find it. And she knew she hadn't moved it, and she went all over the house. She couldn't find it. And it was a couple of days before it reappeared right back where it was supposed to be.
And we excuse it all by saying, well, I just, for some reason, just didn't even see it. Just overlooked it. But you know good and well, you were looking right there.
And where it was supposed to be. But that's another thing that's very common. And we always wonder, well, what happened? Did somebody take it? It just disappeared into the other dimension.
Did it or you?
Well,
probably you were in the other
that's
dimension.
That's debatable. Now, did it go into the other dimension, or did you?
I think you did.
Because they said some of these other dimensions are so alike, you wouldn't even know you have entered another one. It may be something so tiny as a grain of sand being different.
And since your environment, and we're creating our environment, and as we make choices, that's what moves the different dimensions around. Those are all dimensions of choices. And so there you just shifted your choices. So I would say it's you are the one shifting, and then those are the results of choices you made. So you shifted into one that it wasn't there.
Hmm.
This is
debatable, and a lot of people, not argue, but they debate it back and forth because it's such a strange thing, and they happen to everybody.
I mean, that's just what makes it logical to me, not that this is a logical subject, but... that makes logical sense.
Well, I don't think now anything we work on is logical anymore. The stuff that I get up in...
Maybe in some illogical way, it's logical.
I get an email, letter just today, I think, where somebody said, I'm on reading your convoluted universe book, and they're totally outrageous, but I know they're true. So we keep finding more and more information that's very hard to believe, but it is the way things are, even though we don't realize that's how reality works, whatever is reality. But that's one that happens a lot. People know they put something down. They know where they put their car keys, and they can't go back and they can't find it. They accuse their kids of taking it or their husband hiding it or something, and been there all along, but somehow it has shifted into the other dimension.
And the other one, you laid them someplace else.
Yeah, sometimes you'll find them where you know you didn't put them.
Right, and that was just from that other time, what we can call a timeline, dimension, whatever. That's what's coming to me. It's like it's another, because when you make choices, remember, they say that splits you off into these other dimensions. I mean, it splits you into a different timeline. Okay, there's another word. We got to come up with another word.
Because then time doesn't exist.
Right. So it's
but
like it's
trapped
you,
in the concept
it shifts
of time.
You into that other. It's the sliding doors thing again. You know, you make a choice here, it moves you this direction. You make a choice this way, it moves you this direction. And both of these go on and have their own series of events. And in some parts, they'll run parallel, and in other parts, they'll take off in different ways. Well, in one of them, you laid the keys on the coffee table, and the other one, you laid them, you know, on the bar in the kitchen or something. Who knows? But
because a lot of times you'll find them where you know you didn't put them, and then you accuse people of moving them.
Or having spooks, or having
a ghost in the house.
Yeah, yeah. Or aliens are doing this to me.
I always say the little gremlins.
Right, right.
The little gremlins are playing with my things again. And I usually say, guys, can you bring it back? I need it.
And that's usually what all it takes to shift you back. You know, if you'll say that, see, then you're trying to be back together with your item. And that will probably bring you back in the dimension where it is where you expect it to be.
Mm-hmm. But see, this can get very complicated if you're constantly moving in and out of these dimensions all the time. But there's, I've been given many, many examples with the emails we get and then the stories that come up in my session about how things like that. Like one woman said, she could walk down the street in her town or in a neighborhood, and there's this big, beautiful tree that she passes all the time. The next day when she goes out, the tree's not there. No sign that it ever was there. And you know, it couldn't have disappeared that fast. So then the next day, it's back. It existed in one dimension and not in another. Okay, do we have a caller? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, I'm hi, Dolores and Julie. This is Patty in Nevada.
Hi, Patty.
And I want to thank... Hi. I want to thank you for your books also. I think I mentioned that before, but I've really been enjoying them, and I've been reading, I guess, on the second and part of the third series of the Convoluted Universe. And I just have just two questions. Like, the first one is that when you talk about the parallel universes, and when you mention that when we, as human beings, we think a thought and we actually make a decision, and then we change our minds, and then that energy has to go somewhere else, and then we're creating another us, another you, in another dimension. And my question is that, all right, then, if that happens, then if the other you is created, now this other person may be doing the same thing, you know, thinking about thoughts, making decisions, and thus creating other of use within use, another dimension. is that accurate? Or?
Yeah, is that accurate? Did you hear what
Well, there's something
said?
About some other person.
It's where you...
Sometimes it's distorted on the phone.
It is.
She's helping.
This is kind of cutting in and out, so it was
okay,
a little hard to hear. Okay,
yeah.
You make a decision, and you choose. Well, then you said the other one has to... That energy has to go someplace, so
yeah.
Then it goes into a different...
Even because
correct.
It has to
right.
be created. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so then now you have two of you out there. Okay, so let's say the other one is still, it's over there doing things, and it's making decisions, so it's going, so that's going to keep splitting off, and then you're doing yours, and so it's like it keeps going. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's in the books. It talks about this, how this is how energy works, and how you are constantly creating. This is parallel universe,
yes,
parallel
is
life.
Right.
Not five times, but parallel
universe.
Things.
Uh-huh.
Because people are constantly coming to crossroads in their life to where they have to make a decision. Everybody has this. You know, I call them crossroads.
Right.
They may make a decision. Are they going to get a divorce? Are they going to get married? Are they going to take this job? Are they going to quit that job? These would be important decisions they have to make in their life. Well, when they're trying to decide, they put energy into both choices. So when they finally decide what to do, that's the one that becomes their reality. But what happens to all the energy that was focused on the other decision?
Because when you think about it, because when you make a decision, you don't just make it right there where you are. You go, we call it paving the road. You know, you go down that road a bit to see, well, what are the possible potential, you know, thing happenings down that road. So that helps you make the decision. And that's what you mean by putting energy into both of those options.
Yeah, should I? What will happen if I do this?
Right, you think the whole thing out, you know, and you all the possible ins and outs and everything that might happen.
So anyway.
Okay, so in other words, that other you is also making decisions, right? And they're also creating the universes from other decisions that they're making.
Correct.
Yeah, because the other decision that you didn't do has to become a reality because the energy that was put into it and another you is living that other reality.
But when you think about that, that's actually cool because we're here to have experiences. And so that way, then you're experiencing the two options or more. There may have been more options and then all of its potentialities. So you're getting a wealth of experience to your soul. But then you're choosing which one you want to be consciously aware of. And
focus
that's the
on.
One, yeah, that's the one that you're focused
right,
on. And
right.
That's the one you realize.
Yeah.
Right, but then the other you is also making decisions as well, and they're also making coming at a crossroads, you know, which one should I take? So the other you is also making decisions as well, and it just keeps spiraling down, right?
It's going wherever. But really, to me, that just hit me, is that means that, you know, here we are in a lifetime and we think that we're, you know, we're only getting X, Y, Z accomplished. It's like, no, actually, you're not. You're getting X squared, Y squared to the quadruple squared. I mean, because you have all these different things happening every time you make a choice and all these other universes, you know, these other lines. I don't want to call them timelines, but they're all these other lines that you go down, and now you have all these, you have a tree. Because like you're showing, it's like it branches out rather than just being one stalk going up. It branches and branches and branches.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, look at all the experiences you have now rather than just the one that you think you're having.
But see, they told us
don't focus
on these things because they'd be too complicated for you to understand. I've had clients that came in, one said, I know I am living another life in New York. I have another family, I've got another set of children, a different job.
But was it another them?
Yeah, they knew it was.
Or it wasn't a parallel lifetime.
No, they said occasionally I will check in on them. So I know it's me. And
it was just
so
a different decision.
Yeah, they were told in the session, yes, it was real, but they said don't follow up on it because the other person in the other parallel one didn't believe in any of this, and it wouldn't do any good to try to find that other person to let it alone, because you're only supposed to focus on this life, the one that you have decided. That's your reality.
And well,
right,
that's
right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say something, Dolores, is that, and also Julia, it sounds like to me while reading the books is that when you're talking about our soul, our oversoul, however you want to call that, it seems to me by reading the books is that perhaps maybe that this oversoul is that maybe we are a group or maybe even a group soul of the whole planet. It seems like to me that we're just an individual from one large soul and we're not really just a soul itself.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't know if that makes any sense.
It's a collective.
So in other words,
they call it a collective because it's like the individual ones go up, but then it all becomes kind of a one.
But all together.
That's the part that's still, I mean, it is one, but it has individual personality as well. So,
But they said it can get very complicated because it's not major decisions that split off. It means every time you make any decision, it splits off. Should I cross the street or not? And this can get really mind-boggling. But I wanted
right,
to
so
know
it sounds
what
like to me, yeah. So it kind of sounds like to me that perhaps we all, or maybe some of us in groups, whatever, share the same soul, and we're just individual little sparks that come back together when we pass away.
Yeah.
So then, to myself, I'm sorry. Well, I was thinking maybe, you know, if that's the case, maybe our individuality kind of dissipates. Maybe if we go back to the source, if we're just an individual, we're just a part of the soul, it seems like to me that we don't have a whole soul 100% to ourselves, and it's more like a soul,
well,
that's what they call
actually,
it.
Actually, that has been addressed. You asked that specifically in a session, didn't you?
Yeah, and they said you never lose your individuality. And you keep that individuality. Eventually, in the end, when you graduate, you don't have any more lessons to learn or lives to live, you do go back to the source. And then you may be incorporated into again.
Yeah, but I bet even then you will keep your...
You keep your individuality, your personality.
Because that's what you have to contribute to the whole.
Yeah, that's part of it. So they said, don't worry about that, because I used to worry about that. But I asked one time, you know, does this mean these other parts of us, you know, making the other decisions that you keep going, 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 but they're always constantly splitting off. And they said... If the energy is not being focused on in that other decision, it will dissipate. So it's not like a constant splitting.
So it doesn't go all the way down there, but it doesn't keep going. So then the answer was no.
Yeah, it'll dissipate.
But he said yes.
I thought you meant...
I see.
Okay, we're rewording this here. Okay, what?
Okay.
You said it
when
you talk down that road.
Yeah, but if it keeps splitting, sometimes you eventually have hundreds of you doing all these different things, which can really, this is mind-boggling. A lot of you people listening are probably, I hope you're not losing it.
Yeah, well, but you just
but they said,
that, so.
I said, does that continue forever? And they said, no, say this other decision. If it was not focused on and fed energy, it would dissipate.
Go out to hundreds of you.
No, not that's what they said.
Okay, so the answer is no, then, Patty.
This can really get complex.
But I guess if you're over here
and
you're going down this decision and you constantly wonder what would have happened if I would have made the other decision, then you're actually splitting yourself between two decisions.
And you're
and that will. So that goes
right,
okay.
I see, okay.
Times,
when you talk about... When you put people under, when you're talking about the subconscious mind, and then when you say that, Dolores, you know, we've talked to you before, we know you and everything like that, it almost sounds like when you put, like, two different individuals under hypnosis that you're talking to the same subconscious. And I don't know, I mean, because sometimes in your reading it says, oh, yes, we know you, we've talked to you before, or maybe just an entity coming through that's the same person coming through different... you know, bodies or vehicles. But I guess my understanding that, you know, each subconscious mind that you talk to, it's a different one. Like, we all have our own subconscious mind, I believe, right?
Well, actually, if I can answer that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Once you get beyond the veil, then all of our souls are actually connected. We're not all in one. I mean, if that's what I'm saying, they call it a collective. Because that's this drawing that I do, and it just shows how, on this plane, we think we're separate. But once you go beyond the veil, on the other side of the veil, then that's where we're all part of this one energy.
That's the part we call the subconscious.
Right, the subconscious, the oversoul, the higher self, all of that. So see, that's in there, you're all part of this whole. And then that whole... your soul decides to have experiences on this plane, and then that's what comes into our bodies or different things.
It's a little piece of it.
Right.
So in other words, like the subconscious is like we all share the same subconscious then? Or?
Exactly. Well, when you tap into there, excuse me, you'll get, you're tapping into the same thing. That's why you can get, it knows that person, but it also knows, I mean, you could actually tap into anybody. You could, you know, because it knows everybody, because that's where once you get there, everybody's connected.
Yeah, we do this a lot of times. Mm-hmm. We will ask it about somebody else, and it'll tell you about them.
Right.
So this is separate than the person's personality.
All right.
And the amazing thing is when we're
higher
connecting
self,
with the SC, it is always speaks the same, and you know it's always the same. The same phrases, the same information. But that's where we did our work and our information.
Brian, that's what she was asking. Well, it seems like it's one and it's not individual, and that's what makes that the difference.
Makes the distinction.
Right.
But we're still getting information to where this is. It's very difficult to understand. You're getting into quantum physics. You're getting into very deep stuff that hasn't been talked about a lot. And it's getting more and more complicated in my work. We're still getting information that's very difficult to understand. But they said we're ready are ready to have our minds broadened so we can think.
Uh-huh.
But I always tell people somewhere out there is another me that never got into any of this.
Well, but apparently not. Because this is the one you focus on, so that one just dissipated.
Well, somewhere there was somebody who didn't ever get into this, and I wish her luck wherever she is. Okay,
right.
All right, Patty. But
can I just ask one last question, Dolores, please?
Okay, because I was thinking that question can go on for a whole show. It's very complicated. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just wanted to ask you that when you talk about in the books, you're talking to somebody like, I mean, I haven't read your Nostradamus books yet, but when you talk about somebody like in the past, for example, that sounds like you're talking to them in the present. I mean, that's kind of mind-boggling to me that how can you be talking to somebody that supposedly, that's another time frame, like in the past, where it sounds like you're talking to them in the present.
That goes back to that time element again. She said when you in your books, when you're talking to someone in another time period, the past, they'll say, but she said, but it sounds like you're talking to them in the present, and that's mind-boggling. No, they're in the past, but why are you talking, how can you talk to them in the present? And that's the time thing, because you actually have dipped down into their time.
Yeah.
There isn't the past.
Because I've read I don't know how many of my books you've read, but I've written whole books in the beginning of my career just dealing with the investigation of history by taking somebody through an entire life and in another personality that they lived in another time, and they are that person. And that's what I love is the research in the historical part. They are. You're connecting with them through this person, but it is in their other life.
So in other words, like when you talk about dimensions, about dimensions, when this is the topic that you're talking about, is that the time, as the three-dimensional world that we live in, time is only applies to this planet Earth as we know it. But then when you talk about dimensions, when the past, present, and future, they're happening, I guess, from what I understand a little bit, it's happening like all the time, because time is different, so...
Yeah.
Past is still happening, maybe in another dimension.
Well, I asked them one time. They first gave me the idea of simultaneous time. This was 20, 30 years ago, and I couldn't understand it at all. I said, how can everything be happening at once? We know we were a baby, we grew to a child, we grew to a teenager, an adult. How could it all be happening at the same time? He said, that's because you're using the wrong word. It is not happening at the same time. It is existing at the same time.
And it's like you just dip down into it.
Like
all you have to do
dimensions.
Is remember. If you remember a childhood event and totally relive it, you're back there. You're actually there. But it's not like, oh, I'm in the past. You're there it's now. And that's what you're doing in past lives. You're dipping down into those events. Guy Needler calls it space-time events because that's pretty much what it is. You're just dipping down into them, dropping down into them, and having the experience and the remembrance.
And they're reliving that whole life.
In the present time.
What's happening now.
Exactly.
And I find that very exciting to be able to explore history in that way.
So that way, that's the time travel.
Yeah, I love that, the time travel.
But there is no time.
I
but the ETs kept saying that time is an illusion. They said mankind is the only species in the universe found a way to measure something that does not exist. But we're trapped in the concept of time.
Well, no, we're getting out of it. That's part of the shifting. We are getting away from it.
Okay.
That's why we're able to start understanding these concepts, is because we are getting away from it.
They were so confusing to me, I wanted to just quit the work altogether, but they give me a little spoonful, digest this, and give you another spoonful, digest that. What I'm getting now, I could never have understood at the beginning of my work. So they only give it to you when you're ready. And it seems like mankind, everything is speeding up.
It's ready.
To where they are ready for these concepts.
Absolutely.
my books are getting more and more complicated.
Well, you've asked some very thought-provoking questions there, Patty.
Well, thank you. I thank you for your time. Yeah, I feel like I've been evolving at an accelerated rate in the last, I don't know, 5-10 years more than ever. And it's like I've been able, or I feel like I've been able to manifest a few things. Nothing
Absolutely.
Like really, really major, but, you know, for many things I think that I have. And I this just came really just on time with your work, Dolores. I mean, I hope I can meet you guys sometime. I don't know when. I mean, unfortunately, I cannot go to your to the UFO meeting that you're going to have coming up soon. But thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for calling in, Patty.
Okay.
I want to get back to some of these examples here that we're talking about.
Okay.
Okay, because I know 45 years I've been doing this, and none of this made any sense when I started. Okay, but I was talking about the tree disappearing. Another woman said that she was at college, and she came out of the dorm, and there was a lot of construction going on right in the street, right in front of the dormitory, and it was all the yellow, the orange cones, and the tape up. So you in the whole spot, everything, the street was all torn up. Well, the next day when she came out of the dormitory, there was nothing there, and there was no sign anything had ever been torn up or been repaired. That's what I'm talking about, moving in and out of these
things. And we would just say, well, they got done real fast. Your conscious mind would come in, okay, well, they were just really good. They got done fast and they cleaned up.
Yeah, trying to make a...
Or I didn't really see that.
Rationalize it in some way. I don't know how they explain a tree disappearing and reappearing.
I must have imagined that.
Yeah, they said, well, it must have been my imagination. Because I'll do that. We'll be driving, and I'll say, wasn't there used to be a store over there or something? And you'll say, no, there hasn't been one there for a long time. But it's our perception, and our mind has to rationalize it by saying, well, we imagined the whole thing. I had one woman on her list of questions. She said she had a very strange event and she wanted to know the explanation for it. She said she lived in Florida and she went out jogging every morning. And she's jogging down the street and she saw what looked like an airliner, a huge plane, coming in toward the ground. And she said, it's way too low. It's going to crash. And she could see the tail of the plane even sticking up above the trees as it came into the ground. And she said, well, a plane just crashed. She ran all the way back to her house to listen to the news, turned it on to find out what happened. And there was no information about anything. So she wanted to know during our session what it was. And the subconscious told her that she went into another dimension. And in that other dimension, there was an airport over there. Where in the dimension she was in, there wasn't. So what she actually saw was a plane coming into land. But then, naturally, it would be gone again.
It would seem like, well, I mean, that dimension, I mean, there wouldn't have been houses, or it would have been
everything else seemed to be the same,
yeah.
But... I guess if she went a little further, maybe she would have seen there was an airport, but she just saw the tail of the plane coming down, which is weird. But I had another person email me, and this was one of the weirdest ones I've heard of. They said they'd like to go out to the airport and watch the jets take off. Well, they were out at the airport, and they saw the jet take off. And it got up in the sky, and then it went backwards. And then it went forwards, and then it went backwards. It did this 2 or 3 times before it finally went into the air. Now, we know jets cannot go fly backwards. Planes can't. It's impossible. So she couldn't figure out what's going on, and she said several of them did this. When they were taking off, they went forwards. And they were in the air, and then they went backwards and forwards again before they finally took off. She goes out to the the highway in front of it, the cars are doing the same thing, going backwards and forwards before they went. And the only thing I could come up with, and I had this story in one of my books, maybe it was a juncture of dimensions or something. You have any thoughts?
Or it's like a record player that, you know, keeps repeating, you know, skips, it repeats over and over, something like that, where it's repeating an event. You know, it's just like just that one little piece there, or it's like a loop. It just keeps going over and over, maybe.
Yeah, well, like some tape recorders used to have a continuous loop. But I thought it was almost like a junction where the two dimensions were meeting and they were not quite solid or something. But that was one of the strangest ones that I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard other stories. Well, one woman said she came out of her apartment building onto the street, and she was in a different time period. People were dressed differently, like maybe in the 40s and 50s. It wasn't that drastic. And the cars were from that time period. And the people were walking down the street. They weren't paying any attention to her. But she was in a different time period. And she walked down the street. They weren't noticing her that much until finally she got scared. And she goes back to the building she came out of. And when she went back into the building and back up, everything returned to normal.
Hmm.
So whatever that is. Skipping into...
Well, like we just said, I mean, past is not the past. It's just another space event.
Mm-hmm.
And so she just jumped into that space for some reason. At that point, maybe she was vibrating at that. Like, okay, I don't know. What put her there? I don't know what put her there.
Well, I've had many other people who have written this, too. They'd be out and looking, driving around in the country, and it's getting late, and they're looking for a hotel to stop at.
Mm-hmm.
And they find an old hotel out in the middle of nowhere, and they decide, well, we'll stay there. And they go in, and sometimes the people are dressed very quaintly. And one thing they always like about it is the price is so low.
Right.
And they go in and stay the night, and they have a meal, and the prices are so good, they say, wow, I'm going to stop here on my way back. But then when they try to find it on their way back, they can't.
Yeah, we just heard a story like that just a week ago. Remember at the class.
Tell me about it.
Candace was telling us about it, this restaurant that she found one time when she was traveling between Kansas and Texas. And it was like that. And she just loved the place. And for some reason, the bill was low enough where it never even occurred to her to use a credit card. She used cash. And she was thinking about it later, and they had the old register, things like that. She was like, I wonder if I would have used a credit card, would it have worked? Did they have anything to leave to run it? You know, things
you
like
probably
that.
Would have said, what's this?
Yeah, right. But it never dawned on her. She never even thought to use it. She it was a low bill. So little, she thought she just used cash. And then but she really liked it, but she tried to find it later. They kept searching for it. So finally they stopped at a restaurant that was close. That was in the area, and then they asked, and they said, no, that, they knew what they were talking about, they described it, it sounded like this other one, and it had been closed for, I don't know, 40 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But see, in a case like this, they do stay there, they sleep there.
Nice food.
They eat there,
right.
So it has to be solid, it has
mm-hmm.
to be real, it's not disappearing into vapor or what. But other people...
Well, it's real.
It's real at the time. Because people have told me they've stopped at gas. Sometimes you're running out of gas and they're getting worried. And there'll be an old gas station out in the middle of nowhere.
It's angelic gas.
And it's always a very low price, too. And they'll get a gas and they can continue on because they were running out of gas. And on the way back, there's nothing there. And if they ask about it, it's the same thing. Oh, there used to be something there, but it's not anymore. So that's what these things, you can't say it's your imagination because they're real. You was gas in the car that made the car run.
Yeah, but it's all illusion. I mean, it's as real as an illusion can be.
Yeah.
It's all illusion. We create what we need. I mean, it could be that stuff, too.
Because it's not imagination if you eat the food, you sleep in the bed.
Well, nothing is. Well, everything is. Well, everything is our imagination. We create it.
But these might be things to make people think about. But one that I found was very interesting was when I did the Art Bell show.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, George Nuri is doing it now, and there was another one in between. I can't remember his name. After Art Bell stopped doing it, there was another one, Michael, I think, something. And then George Nuri is taking it over now. But I did some shows with Art Bell, and afterwards we get tons of emails. And this one was very interesting. It came from this woman that said they always listened to it. They didn't like to stay up that late. So they had a tape recorder in those days that could long playing tapes. They could play the whole, but you're on there most of the night.
Just record it.
And records the whole thing very slowly so it can fit it on one tape. Long playing tape. So they recorded the show. And there were three women. They were friends, and they all recorded the show. And the next morning, the one said she got up to play it, and there wasn't any show. It was a sport, a game on there instead of Art Bell. But they were giving the same call letters of the station, like it had to have been the right station. And then one of the other women involved, same way, she got this game instead of Art Bell. And the third one got the show.
And they were all in the same city?
Yeah, they were all in the same city, and the third one got the show. And the two women called the station to find out what was going on, and they said, oh, we're not carrying Art Bell anymore, and we're not going to do it. We're not going to carry him anymore. But the third person got the show. And she's wondering what happened. But the same call letters, so they know it was the right station. And it was 2 weeks after I got that, I was speaking in Memphis at something. I might have been Unity Church or something. But these women came to hear the lecture. And afterwards, they came up to me and they said, we came all this way because we wanted to tell you that really did happen. And two of them were elderly women and one was younger. And there's no way these people were making this up. But she said, we just wanted you to know it did happen. And we have the tapes to prove it. Now, how are your skeptics going to debate that?
Oh, they will. They'll find a way.
We're always looking. They always say, I want proof. I want proof of everything. But yet, how's a skeptic going to debate that when they have the tapes to prove it? Okay. Now, I've got one more case here that I want to talk about. Came from one of my readers. One of our fans, and he's an elderly man, and he said he's read the books, but he sent this in with something that happened to him back in 1949, and he wrote an article about it that appeared in the Oregon newspaper where he lived in 1997. It told the story, and he in the letter he said, I give you permission to use this any way you want. Because he didn't know what happened. I don't know what happened either, but it is a really strange event. And this has to do with a dirigible called the SSS Shenandoah. And if you're like my kids, my kids didn't even know what a dirigible was because they don't exist anymore. But if you're out there, if you're old enough, you will know what a dirigible is. Now they're calling them rigid airships, but they're always dirigibles. I think the closest thing we can come to it now would be the Goodyear blimp, only that's very much smaller. But there was a time, starting in the 20s, they developed these for travel. And they were huge. This Shenandoah was with the Navy, and it was 3 blocks long. They were huge. I think one thing that made them stop developing them was the Hindenburg.
Well, they all kept crashing.
Yeah.
and they were killing people, so I was like, that's a good reason to stop.
They're loaded with all this gas, you know. But sometimes they were called Zeppelins, and that was the German name, and that was the Hindenburg was the Zeppelin. But anyway, this was what we used to call dirigible. So if you out there that don't know, ask your parents what a dirigible is. But if you can visualize them as huge, long Goodyear blimps.
Right, cigar-shaped.
Yeah, very long. Okay, I'm going to read this article. It's not very long, that he wrote. And it tells the whole story of what happened back in 1949. He said, not long ago, I was looking through some old postcards when I came across one showing the old Navy dirigible, the USS Shenandoah. And I recalled an incident that took place well past midnight back in 1949 when the late Roy Orbison and I actually encountered the old Navy dirigible at the Wink, Texas airport. He said, we had been out on, I'll kind of condense this. They were out riding around on their motorcycle. And they were teenagers. They were in high school, out running around, and it was late at night. And it began to get dark, and they kind of got lost. And so they were riding around out there, and they ended up at the airport and ended up coming out on one of the runways at the airport. Okay. At that time, a storm began to pick up, and it was really bad. He says gale force, one of those Texas storms that come up out of nowhere. Gale force winds and sand and blowing tumbleweeds around and sheet lightning. So he said, anyway, they found themselves in pitch blackness out on this runway. And they didn't know where they were. Oh, okay, let me skip part of this up here. The light on the motorcycle went out and the motor stopped.
Oh, I think that's an indicator right there.
Yeah, you know, they find that happen with UFO stuff
right,
a lot.
Right, that's right there.
When you go, something weird is getting ready to happen. With so much sheet lightning, we saw this huge dirigible as it landed on the runway, no more than a few yards from us. We could almost reach out and touch it, but the sparks that flew off of it caused when the control cabin struck the runway as it was landing. The sparks were so great they couldn't get any closer. But we were close enough we could see inside the control cabin, and Roy spoke to the commander and went inside the cabin for nearly a half hour. The airship was a good 3 blocks long and big and black as it rested on the runway next to us. And Roy came back to the motorcycle after a half an hour and said he'd been talking to Commander Lansdowne. And they said they were waiting for the weather to clear up so they could take off because they were on their way to California. He also gave Roy a small pin that had USN on it. And he said Roy had asked for a ride. And the commander said no, he didn't think that would be safe for him to get in, so he didn't get his ride. But as we were trying to talk above the wind, all the motors on the airship began full force. We could smell oil and gasoline. The big airship lifted and slid into the black sky, and a few seconds was gone. Then as the sheet lightning flashed and thundered and roared across the field like cannons, we both felt we were in danger, so we rode over to the tower to ask how do we get out of the airport, because they were lost. We asked the people in the control tower if they had seen the airship, but nobody had seen anything. We never gave it much thought, but Roy Orbison said the commander told him it was the Navy USS Shenandoah, who would not have known the name of the ship otherwise. So anyway, they reached Wink, Texas, and the full flurry of the storm broke through it, and lightning and thunder and hail and all of that. Anyway, you remember in those days they didn't have internet. So he said it was a great many years passed before he began to think about it. Then he saw the postcard, and he had to go to the library to try to find out about the history. And what I found began to get goosebumps up my spine. I'm still unable to explain our encounter with this airship. You see, the files say the airship was destroyed in a storm in 1925, a full 24 years before we saw her on the runway at the Wink Airport. She was torn into three pieces, and Commander Lansdowne was killed with 13 others. 29 survived the crash. It took place in Ohio during a September storm. And this was September when they were seeing it. That's another strange thing. Yeah. It's just almost to the day, but it's 24 years later. I also wrote to the Navy Museum to check on the flight plans of the airship. And another strange thing was evident. The USS Shenandoah did indeed fly over Wink, Texas on its route. But even more strange was the fact that the flight took place before the Wink Airport was ever built. That's history and fact. Now I'm totally lost on how to explain our encounter with an airship a full 24 years after it crashed, and an airport that had not even been built at the time of the crash. What we saw was real, what we touched was real, and he boarded the ship to talk to the commander. He gave him the pen. Yet reality says it should not have happened. They checked out the old scratch marks on the runway, which were visible for weeks afterwards where it crashed, it landed. So he said his friend kept the little pin all that time. We heard the motors, saw the ship take off into the sky. There was no doubt that what we saw was real, but how do you explain it? Did the ship reach forward into the future? Or did we go back into the past? I hate to think what would have happened if we'd gone for a flight with the airship that night. No one can explain it, yet we did see, feel, touch, and smell the gasoline and oil. How could it be something that wasn't there?
Well, that's what we're talking about. Time slip. Dimensions.
Mm-hmm. So it shows that if they really do happen. And people always wanted proof. But I looked it up on the internet. Yeah, the ship was built in the 20s and it crashed in 1925. And that's when the Navy was using these ships. And then after a while, they stopped building them, stopped using them because they were too dangerous.
Right.
But it can't get any realer than that.
Well, it just shows how real. I mean, that one was a little more obvious because they later realized that it was something that was way out of time. But, and I like that when they go out and it's, people are not in the right dress at all. But when it's those little things that you, they're so close, you don't, they're there, but you just don't pay attention.
But they went to the control tower and nobody there had seen it. So it's, that's when I talk about UFO events.
They flipped into it. That's what we said. You're the one moving in and out,
I've talked about other UFO cases I've investigated, and they see it, but nobody else around them will see anything. So I said it's an individual experience, but it's very real to them. This may fall into the same category. It was meant just for them that night. They were in the right place at the right time. But
we're just scratching the surface.
I know, but it's here. The control tower didn't, the airport didn't even exist, and the airport control tower didn't see them. But the scratches on the runway were still there for weeks later. This is real Twilight Zone stuff.
Yep.
I can see it being made into a Twilight Zone episode anyway.
Oh, yeah. I think there may have been one.
But the man's name was sent it to me is Leon Thompson, and I really thank him for doing it. He held on to this for many years, but he said, maybe you can use it.
30 seconds.
Any way you want. Okay. But, yeah, it's time for us to sign off, but I wanted to give you that story to think about.
Yeah, bend your brain.
Yeah. Everything is illusion. An illusion. Nothing's real.
And I think that's the thing to hold on to, is it's all an illusion.
Yeah.
You can make it whatever you want it to be.
Okay. All right, well, it's time for us to sign off. So I want to thank everyone for listening tonight.
Yeah. Have a wonderful night and make it great.
Good night, everyone.